do at the beginning of the new year is have a time of consecration and drawing near to God, and we're still going to do that in January. We still plan to do that for the last 3 weeks in January. So in that view, I wanted to teach a little bit again on consecration. And this whole month has been on the promises of God. And one of the promises that God has given us is that he has promised that if we drew near to him, he would what? Amen. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, in Solomon wrote, there's a time to weep, and there's a time to be happy, but there is also a time to mourn. There is a time when we should, you know, really pour out our heart before the Lord. But he has promised, one of the greatest promises is if we draw near to him, what will he do? He will draw near to us. So we're going to be looking at that in terms of consecration and planning our year to just start the year by going into some fasting, some prayer, and making some promises that we're going to pledge to God to do better. You know, our four mission statements, which I don't want to get into, but it's part of our vision. The first one is discipleship, right? The discipleship. And then we have worship, and we have fellowship, and we have sonship. Those are going to be our four mission statements next year that we're going to really try and work on and emphasize that we try and aim for those as a mission, that we're going to disciple others, that we're going to worship, amen, and that we're going to grow that sonship. And then we're going to fellowship. Because that really sums up what we are called to do as Christians. Amen. But the promise God has made is that if we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Isn't that great? Do you want to be closer to God? I tell you what. I certainly do. I would like him just to make every decision for me. Because when I make decisions, invariably, they're the wrong ones. You know, I want, you know, they had this ad at one time. I think Staples had the easy button, right? Do you remember that ad? I would love for God to just put the easy button and say, Lord, you just, whatever decision, you just make it for me. They say the safest place is in the will of God. We want to be in the will of God in 2025. Amen. We want to be in the will of God in 2025. We're going to look at some things in the Old Testament on how they did consecration and sanctification. And some of this I've taught before, but it's good to refresh ourselves. Because as we draw near to God, he has promised to draw near to him, that he would draw near to us. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I think that's a great promise. All you have to do is seek him, and he will seek you. He says, I will be found of them that what? Seek me. Amen. Amen. So let's look at three words in the Old Testament. And the first one is holiness. Holiness. Hebrews, it's Kodesh. Going back the wrong way here. Let me go the right way here. Holiness. And it's all throughout the Old Testament. And the second word is sanctification. And then the third word I want to draw a contrast is profane. And I want to show you the difference between holiness and sanctification. Holiness is the destination. Sanctification is the path or the journey. You sanctify yourself if you want to be holy, if you want to get there. Now, profane is the opposite. That word really means something that's common. Something that you don't even value, right? You may be walking along on the sidewalk and you see a penny. Now, it depends on who you are and what your circumstance, but if you see a penny lying in some mud in the gutter, you may or may not pick it up. Some of us may pick it up, but, you know, you think about it and you think, well, that's just a penny, right? Or some gum or something, a pack of chewing gum. You may not pick something up off the street because it's common. What God is telling in the Old Testament is don't treat his stuff as common. That was a sin. to treat, it's not, you know, we think, well, that's not much of a sin. It's disregarding or disrespecting God's holiness. So when we treat anything to do with God as common or just the usual, then we are actually being profane. And in the Old Testament, that was a sin. And that's why he said, you should not profane my name. Don't use my name commonly. Of course, today people use it as a curse word, right? You can tell that that's just the devil. That's just got to be the devil. Right? Because God already said that my name should be not common. And in the Old Testament, they took that so seriously that they never said his name. They won't even today, Orthodox Jews won't write God. They'll put G-D. They won't even write it down because they take that seriously. They want, when they call the name of God, it's got to be something serious and with reverence. And in fact, it was only on the Day of Atonement that the high priest got to say the name of God. On that day, once a year, when Israel was gathered around, he would go in and he'd offer the sacrifice and he'd come back out. And that was when he did the blessing. And he called God's name over the people. That was how serious it was. Imagine if we took God's name that seriously, or anything to do with God seriously. See, we're not to profane his name. So holiness, Kodesh, is the destination, right? We can't make ourselves holy, but we can sanctify ourselves. That means to separate ourselves from things that are profane. Walk like your royalty. You know, in the Black Power movie, they used to say, I am somebody. Well, if you're a child of the King, you are somebody. You have to walk like you're somebody, right? Walk like you're on television, like you're a movie star, because you're a child of the King. Amen. So sanctification is the act of separating yourself from things that pull you down, things that take away your attention, your focus. And it's also the act of separating those things that are profane from those things that are holy. And if you start on sanctification, then you're on the journey to holiness. Okay? So the end result of sanctification will be holiness. But the end result of defilement will be profane. In fact, that's where we get the word profanity. Right? Cursing. Because it's something, there's some people, they can't talk a whole sentence without dropping a four-letter word in there. Like it's a grammar or a comma or something. You've probably come across such people, right? They can't go through a sentence without dropping, you know. That's what happens when you're not careful and you go along that road of profanity. You end up where you can't speak without, that's what comes out. And what, remember what Jesus said. Amen. It's what comes out of a man. Yes. It's what you speak. It's what you say defiles you. It's what you say defiles you. That means that we're supposed to speak gracious words. Amen. Right? See, we had to check ourselves on that. Have all our words in 2024 been gracious? or did occasionally some defilement come out there? So in January, let's start by going the opposite way. Let's draw near to God, because that is also one of his promises, right? That if you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. I think that is awesome. You see, and I'm going to give you one of my favorite scriptures. And it's Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, how does that work? Because we know that in ourselves, the scripture says, there is no good thing. There's nothing good about me. So how can that scripture say it's perfect? You know, I told you this before, but once you take that first step, you know what God does? He declares you perfect. Because he calls those things that are not as though they are. Isn't that awesome? It's not because I am perfect, but because I've started the journey. I've started towards sanctification. I've started separating those things that are profane from things that belong to God. I venerate His house. I take it seriously when I come here, right? I don't just get behind this pulpit and start saying any old thing, right? Once you take that first step, when you start the journey, then this promise applies to you. For by one offering, what Christ did at Calvary hath perfected forever them that are separated. That's what sanctified means, separated. Even when they were in Egypt, God arranged for the children of Israel to be separated. They weren't in with all the Egyptians, and that was a good thing. Because God wanted to do some blessing for them and some judgment for the Egyptians. Now, if you're all mixed up, that's going to make things a lot more difficult. You're holding up your own blessing. You wonder why you're not getting the blessing. Are you separated? Are you in Goshen? Or are you in the land of profanity? See, the work of the Holy Spirit is exactly that, to start us on that journey towards holiness. You know, it's not that we are perfect, but we go on. Paul said, I go on to perfection. I guess one of, and I've said this before, one of the most amazing things Paul said was near the end of his life, he said, it's not as if I have attained. The great apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, started all these churches, had miracles, had someone come back from the dead. And he's saying, it's not as if I had attained, but I press. It's a fight. It's not a cakewalk. You have to fight this thing. He presses towards the mark. It's not a low calling. It's a high bar. It's a high calling. I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. But here's the beauty of Hebrews 10:14. The moment you start that journey, God declares you perfect. Walk before me, Abraham, and be thou perfect. That's all it takes. The moment Abraham started on the journey from Ur unto the promised land, God declared him righteous. Now, he didn't do that journey perfectly. There was a few stops and starts on the way, just like us, right? We try and bring everybody with us and take Auntie Jane and Cousin Will. Just like Peter. Peter did that when Jesus was saying, do you love me? And then he started to tell Peter what he would have. And he said, well, what about that guy? That's how we are, right? What about the other fellow? What about him? What are you going to do for? No, this is a personal salvation. You got to work out your own salvation. No matter how close you are, your husband or your wife, it's a personal salvation. In fact, Jesus said, two will be in the bed, and one will be taken. That shows you how personal this is. So the sanctification is of the Spirit. He hath perfected forever them that are separated, them that have begun this journey. So it's separation of the unholy or the profane things by the Spirit. Let's look at how this principle works, and I've shown you this before. God himself showed how the principle works, because in the beginning was God, and then what does it say next? And the Spirit of God moved. And when he first created the earth, it was what? Formless and void. Now, to get a beautiful perfection, what's the first thing that happened? What's the first thing that was created? Light. And what did the light do? It separated. Do you see that? To end up at Genesis 1:31, which God looks at everything and said it was perfect, the first thing that had to happen was darkness had to be separated. The first step on your journey, you got to move all the darkness out of your life. You have to let the light of God come in. You have to let he said, I am the light of the world. If you walk with me, you shall have fellowship. So the first thing he did, Genesis 1:4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided, separated. That shows you the plan of how this sanctification works. The first step is you got to separate that darkness. Are there some things that I'm not happy about that I want changed? Well, nothing's going to happen if I just fold my hands and say, okay. Exactly. We have to separate from the darkness or the things that are profane. And when he did that, then it became good. Immediately there was a separation. Then it started to be good, right? But that wasn't the end of it. The next thing, and God said, let there be light, and and there was light. And because God created it, it was good. Anything that God creates automatically is good. The Bible says he is the Father. He only gives good gifts. There is no variableness or shade of turning because he is the Father of light. Now, creation then always requires separation. If you look at the 6 days, there was always a separation. What's the next thing? Genesis 1:6. Look at this. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide, separate the waters from the waters. See what's happening here? Creation requires separation. Create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit with me. But I'm going to hang around with everybody I used to hang around with. I'm going to go and do whatever I used to do. Is that how it works? No, you can't say create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me and have no separation. As God was creating, he was separating. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide, in other words, separate the waters from the waters. In fact, in Genesis, there's actually more than one separation. Here's three separations. The first one was the light from the darkness, right? That's how you start, right? Light from darkness, water from above, from below, from water above, and then the land from the water. Do you see there's a progression here? We got to separate the things that are profane if we want that creation to come to be a good thing. Let's look at the light from the darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one comes to me unless I tell them to come. The fact that you're here today is that God wants to shine that light, and he wants to say, let there be light. And he wants to say it was good. Amen. He wants to see an effect. See, I hope in 2025 I'm better than I was in 2024. Another scripture says it shines and brighter and brighter into a more what? Perfect day. The more we let God's light shine, the more the creation is fulfilled. And the darkness is dispelled. Depression is dispelled. Doubt is dispelled. Fear is dispelled. But you got to let him say, let there be. He's got to speak those three words into your heart. And you've got to say, amen. Let it be so. We looked last week at when Mary was told there was going to be a new creation in her. And her comeback was, let it be so. She said, let it be unto your handmaid as you have spoken. That's what we have to do if we want that creation and that promise to be fulfilled. It says, for God who commanded the light, he said in Genesis, let there be light. But it's more than that, because it's a spiritual light he wants to shine into our hearts. I want not necessarily to have money and riches in the earth, but I want God's blessing. I want his favor. Someone called me up and said they were tempted of playing that, was it mega what it is? And so I joked to them, boy, the tithes on that would be great. Yeah, the tithes on that would be great. But I also said, I don't think that's how God wants to do it. Pay your tithes. But see, that's not how God wants to do it. He took a raven to feed the prophet. And the point was, it was an unclean bird even. right? So I'm not worried about 2024 as far as monetary. God has always put bread upon my table. What I really, really want is for his light to be shined. I want to be a new creation. I want to be able to overcome things in 2025 that maybe I wasn't so good at in 2024. So what is this light that he shines? Well, you know what it really means? What does light help you to do? See, thy word is a unto my feet. See, so when you let God's light, that means you have knowledge and understanding. Right? Lord created me knowledge so that when I don't know what to do, the greatest thing and probably the only good thing Solomon did when God said, what do you want? He could have asked for anything. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked to kill all his enemies. But the greatest thing Solomon said is, Lord, I'm really not smart enough to be king over Israel. Lord, just give me wisdom. Imagine if we were to ask a question of the Lord that pleased him. Bible said the thing pleased God. Pleased God because he didn't ask for riches and mega ball. You know, I mean, yes, that would be nice. Our flesh boy, you know, we're already dreaming of the vacations, the world trips, the mansions, right? But that's not what God is about right now. We haven't inherited the kingdom yet. What we need is God's understanding and light in our hearts so that we can make good choices in 2025. Amen? Now, he separated the water. The next thing he separated was the water below from the water above. And that is, again, a symbol of profane from holy. Ezekiel 44:23. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, or things that are common, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Right? That's the symbol there that he's separating, right? It's a separation of the holy from the profane. Now, the third thing he separated was the land from the water. 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Perished. In other words, the earth experienced a baptism. It came up out of the water. Amen? That's what it is. So it's symbolizing actually a baptism, which when we go down the Bible, you know, I always say you walk in newness of life. The old me should be dead. My old ways of thinking, my old expectations should be dead, right? So baptism, symbolizing baptism, separates the old nature from the new. Now, we may not be perfect right away, but we've started the journey. And as long as we started the journey, as I've said, God calls those things that are not. Isn't that awesome? He credits you righteousness, even when in actuality you're far from perfect. He declared Abraham righteous. Abraham still made all kinds of mistakes after that. He told the guy, she's my sister. He knew it was his wife, but he told her it was his sister. Abraham still made mistakes, and it took him a long time to get to the place where God could fully fulfill that declaration of righteousness. But guess what? God did not give up on Abraham. As long as Abraham kept on walking, you know, some of us are taking baby steps. But if you keep on taking baby steps, even if you fall down, when a baby falls down, what do? You encourage him. Get back up. Try again. I can remember the first time my eldest son walked. And it was like a shock to him. Because my wife was there and I was in. He was running. He was trying to get between us. And the first time he ran and big old smile, he didn't fall. Then he thought, I'm going to keep doing this. He just kept on. Didn't want to stop now. See? That's what happens when you get the idea, when it gets into your heart, what God has planned for us. See, the separation that God did there was symbolizing, again, a baptism. In Genesis 1:11, And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit from his kind, whose seed is in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. So again, there was a separation of types of plants. So in the whole creation, it was a process of separating.
Yes.
That's what it was. That's when we say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, we have to have some separating. We have to have some separate. We got to let that light shine. We got to stay away from the darkness, right? Depression and all those things that will come into our mind. That's how we draw near to God. But as I said, the greatest mercy is that the moment we start the journey, he declares us righteous. Amen. He declares us righteous. That blows my mind. That's why Hebrews 4:16 says we can come, what, boldly. Boldly. You don't have to be shy. You can run to your Father. You can run to your Heavenly Father and say, I need help. I'm in trouble. He said you can come boldly to a throne of grace, there to obtain mercy. There to obtain mercy. So it was only after the separation now that God started to use what he had created. Genesis 2:5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. He had to do the separation before it could be put into use. Do you understand? There had been no rain. Why? Why had there been no rain? He hadn't separated it yet. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. You see, once he separated it, then he could use it. Don't ask God to use you until you are separated. Until you have separated yourself, or at least started the journey. As I said, we do this every year because we want to go into 2025 drawing near to God. We don't know what kind of challenges and things we will face in 2025. I'm sure there will be. Because even Satan only left Jesus, the Bible says, for a season. So he may have left you for a week or two after Christmas, but you know he's coming back in January. He'll let you enjoy the birth of Christ and the Christmas tree and the turkey and the cranberry and all of that. But you know he's coming back in January when you start to clear it all away, and then you look at all of the bills and all of the stuff that you're going to have to face. That's why we have to be ready. Amen. We have to be ready. So sanctification then is a walking process. That's why every person in you, it says that Enoch, what did he do? Now, how can you walk with God and walk with the devil? Not possible. Jesus himself said, two cannot walk together. You know what? Because you'll be annoying each other. You ever been with someone you just want to get away from them? You just want to get away from them because they're just annoying your spirit. They're just annoying your spirit. That's why you can't tell everybody everything. Imagine if Abraham had said, the Lord spoke to me, wife, and he told me to take our only son there that you bore, and we're going to kill him. Can you imagine how that conversation would have gone? No. Abraham didn't tell nobody. But he walked with God. It's a walking experience. That's why the Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit, to them gave he what?
Power.
We're going to be studying that. See, knowledge of him is when we're separated from ignorance. We've got to separate ourselves from ignorance. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways, meaning know him. That word acknowledges is two words, knowledge, know him. and he shall direct thy path. That's really what I want, because I make some stupid decisions sometimes. You know, I make some stupid decisions. Lord, please, please, you choose for me. I don't want to choose according to what I think. Lot looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom and he said, "Ooh, that looks good. I think that's where I want to go." No, no, you don't. You, because of that bad decision, he lost nearly his whole family. He lost half of his family. Just because he chose based upon what he thought looked good. What he thought looked good. We have to separate ourselves from ignorance. That's why we come to church. So that we can learn the word of God. Thy word is a lamp. It's light. We got to separate ourselves from the fake news out there. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart. Now you don't want to be listening to fools, do you? Or someone who's going to discourage you. Right? You might as well give up. Why are you going to that church? You could be sleeping this Sunday morning, having yourself a nice breakfast somewhere at Denny's. But Job said to his wife, "You speak as a foolish woman." She told him, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Look, what's serving God ever done for you except trouble?" In all this, the Bible says God, Job kept his integrity. He separated her words from what he knew and what he believed. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now we've got to be separated from the profane or common. John 17:16, and this is Jesus now praying. And he makes this amazing statement. He's praying for his disciples. And he says, "They are not of the world." Wow, when did that happen? You know why? They had been walking with him for 3.5 years. What did he call them to do? He says, come what? What did he say? Come follow me. That means they had been walking with him for 3.5 years. They could not be any more of this world because they had seen the light. Amen. The Bible says, let that light of the glorious gospel shine. They had seen some light. So now they could not be back in darkness. Who wants to go back in darkness if you have a light? They are not of, this is an amazing thing. You know what this means? You know what this means? He had declared them righteous, even though Pentecost had not happened yet. He already says they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What an amazing statement. That's what I want God to declare. I don't want to belong to this world. My citizenship is in heaven. You need that passport above all passports. Our new president's going to throw out all the people who don't have the right passport. But you're not going up there if you don't have the right passport. Amen. We have to be separated from our old nature. It's so easy to slip back into the person who I was, which is not a nice person. I only look nice. But I tell you what, I realize now that I could really hold a grudge. You do something to me 30 years ago, I'm not forgetting it. Yeah, well, I'm not a nice person. I'm saved by God's grace and mercy. I have to fight that even now. I do. I have to fight that even now. I say, well, you know what? I need God's forgiveness. So I need to forgive. Ephesians 4:22, that he put off concerning the former conversation. What it means, your former lifestyle, right? The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see, the things we want deceive us. We think they will give us pleasure and happiness, but most of the time they won't. All they do is bring us more trouble, more heartache, more worry. And we think we're going to be happy because of things, But the trouble was, it's the same as in the garden. Adam and Eve thought they could hide because of the fig leaves. But it didn't work. Only God can reach your heart. Only God can change that. So we have to be separated from our old nature. We got to be separate. Now, remember what I said, that sanctification, separation, is the path to holiness. Holiness is the destination. Right? But we can start on that path. And I've done a little graphic here to try and explain it. 1 John 5:8 says that there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and all these three agree in one. So sanctification is when we take the body and it's sanctified so that God can use us. And for salvation, the soul is sanctified so that we can be saved. And consecration is that way. And how do we do it? Through obedience. Obedience. We have to be obedient, right? I hate telling people what to do, actually. To be honest with you, I hate telling people. But sometimes I have to do that. I have to do that. But you have to be obedient to the word, not to me. Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you, but the word that I speak, that's going to judge you. He did not come to condemn. He says, but the word is going to judge you. Because the scripture says, the words that I speak, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So we have to come to God in humility and obedience. The reason why David got forgiven was because he humbled himself. We've taught so many times about Manasseh, who was probably the very worst, most evil king Israel ever had. He killed all the prophets, set up idols in the temple. But worse than that, he offered his own children as a sacrifice. He was the most evil. You know, you read Kings and it says this one was more evil than the one before that. And they get to Manasseh. But he's such an example of God's grace and mercy. You know, the Assyrians came and finally God poured judgment on Israel. And they came and they took all of them captive and took him to Nineveh and had him in prison. And you'd think they would kill him and execute him and do all the things that they were known for. Usually what they did was that they would kill all of the family in front of you and then gouge out your eyes and then kill you. That's how they were. But somehow in the deepest prison, Manasseh prayed to Jehovah. He separated himself from the person who was that evil person before, who did all those horrible things. And he repented. And the most amazing thing was that God moved on the Assyrians to release him and make him king again. Can you believe that? And in the end, he had the longest reign, longer than David, longer than Solomon. When you start on this path to holiness, when you separate yourself from the old nature, all things are possible. A rich man went away and the disciple, Jesus said, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man. And the disciples said, wow, this is impossible. And God then, Jesus said, yes, with man it is impossible. It is impossible how someone like that, who we would think, man, that person just needs to be executed, can change and receive mercy. Again, we think about the thief on the cross, right? And he told us, and look, we're here because we really did all these things. And he turned to Jesus and he said, shortest prayer, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What a short prayer. And Jesus turned to him and said, today. That's how fast God can turn your situation around. When you separate yourself from your old nature, your old past, he said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. But that requires obedience. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that he believed, he were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of the redemption. We have to make sure that we don't break the seal. That we're the only ones that can do it. Jesus said, no one can pluck you out of God's hand. But God will never force you to stay there. You have to be able to stay there. You have to want to be obedient. So the soul is set apart and sealed and sanctified because that's what the Holy Spirit does. But it is up to us with the body now to submit that to God's plan. So the sanctification of the soul is through the work of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls, how? In obeying. See, many people say that Noah was saved by grace, which is true. But really, Noah was saved by obedience. God told him what to do. God could have just made an ark appear. God can make a pile of money appear in front of you. But that's probably not how he's going to do it. Because he wants you to learn obedience. Right? God could have just, there was an ark. All Noah would have to do was walk in it. But God said, no, you're going to have to do some things. Salvation requires you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. The command is walk before me. Or to the disciples, follow me. Or as it says, those that are led. There is always some part for us to do. Even in the garden. He put the man in the garden to do what? Sit there? He was there to dress and take care of the garden. There will always be a part for us to show our choice. That we are invested in this thing. You know, when you if you are going to start a business, right? And you go to the bank and you say, I want to start a business and I need a $1 million loan. They say, that's fine. Okay. The next question they ask is, how much are you putting in? Well, no, I'm not putting in anything. I just want a $1 million loan to start a business. They'll just run you out of there right away. Because nobody's going to invest in you when you won't invest in you. You're going to need to come up with something. Even if it's 10%, they want to see that you have, something, a dog in this fight, as they say. Jesus wants you to know that you are invested in his plan of salvation. So there will be something. You got to start walking. You got to start obeying. Now, if Noah had been given the plans for the ark and he just sat there for the next 100 years and says, well, God, you know you could just build an ark. Why you got... God could. God, why are you giving me these plans? Why don't you just go psh and make it happen? Because that's how our attitude is. We don't want to do nothing. Come on, God, you're God. You can do anything. You can do anything, right, God? We want him to build the ark and do everything and float us in there. We don't even not want to walk. But sanctification and consecration only come to fruition through obedience. Obedience, right? We have to learn to obey what God has called us to. When we come into January, we're going to be asking to do some things. To sacrifice some things. To do some fasting, right? To put away a few things. Now, you want to draw near to God, but you're not willing to do nothing. It's a two. He says, you draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. It's not, I'm going to draw near to you, and you just stand there. In the parable of the prodigal son, who had to come home? He had to come to his senses sitting in the pigsty and said, you know, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? My father is rich. He's got all kinds of stuff. Even if he made me a servant, I would be better than I'm living. He had to decide for himself to change, to get up out of the pigsty. So in 2025, we are going to have to decide wherever, whatever mental pigsty we're in or whatever depression we're in, to get up. Now the father was there looking. He was far, he had gone far from the house. He had gone as far as he could looking. Every day looking for the son to return. And as soon as he saw him, he ran to him. And the story is so awesome because you can imagine when he came, it was all raggedy and stank and all of that. First thing he called for was the most beautiful robe, covered him, walked him back. Nobody knew. Nobody could see the mess because he was covered by the Father's love. That's what happened. The moment he came home, the Father covered him. That's what God will do in 2025 if we will draw near to him. Amen. See, this story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet is also something about sanctification. Because they didn't understand, what are you doing? They said, why are you doing this? We have their servants, why are you washing people's feet? John 13:10, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. So when we come to church and we hear a word, that is cleansing us. You may not know it, but you've been under God's car wash this morning. Not my words, but the words. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are what? Spirit and they are life. That's a promise. They are spirit and they are life. It depends what we do. Are we going to eat those words? Are we going to reject those words? Because the sower went out to sow and some of it just fell on hard ground. I always say before the preacher gets up, prepare the ground. Don't I say that? I say so that the word that is spoken will get inside of you and bring forth a harvest. Sanctification is about taking in the word and chewing on it. You know, pastor said so and so. I'm gonna believe that this week. I'm gonna walk in faith. I'm gonna get armored up for the devil in 2025. I'm gonna put on the helmet of salvation. I'm gonna have my loins girded up with truth. Amen. I'm gonna get armored up for Satan in 2025. Bring it on, Satan. I think that David didn't run from Goliath, you know. He ran towards him. He ran towards him. And someone said, nowhere in the Bible does David call him a giant. He doesn't. What does he call him? Uncircumcised. He doesn't say, you big giant Goliath. No, that's giving him props. No, we don't want to do that. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. And he said, I'm going to cut your head off. David had no sword. How was he going to do that? But he knew he was going to take his sword and do the job. Sanctification is a walking process. It's a journey. And if we follow it, we will go on to holiness. Amen. I'm not going to be able to finish this today. Please stand. Amen. But I want as many of you as can make it out next week to come. Our topic, our study topic for next month is going to be called The Mission. The mission. We are all not. There's not one single person who has taken on the name of Jesus and been filled with the Spirit that doesn't have a mission. And you should be very grateful that you have a mission. I told you this before, but we had this missionary come through, and he said something that has lasted with me now for 20-something years. He was a missionary to one of these countries where they were killing people, beheading people, and all of that. And he was asked, then, aren't you afraid? How come, because there's bombs going off, people getting killed. And he was asked, how come you're not afraid to be in there? And he says, well, I look at it like this. I have a mission. And I can't die until the mission. Paul could not die. God had told him, listen, you're going to speak to the emperor. No matter how many times they stoned him, whipped him, left him for dead, planned to behead him, he could not die. Why? He had a mission. That's why I say you should be grateful if you have a mission. It guarantees you that you're going to live at least as long as you're on your mission. Now, if you abandon your mission, all bets are off. I don't know about you. But if you stay on your mission, you cannot go. See, Paul knew when he had finished the mission, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. See, I want to get to that stage where I can say that. We're going to close this Sunday school, but I want you to be encouraged. Let's go into 2025 drawing near to God with a pledge in our heart. Lord, I want you to separate me like you did the darkness from the light. I want you to separate me as you did the water below from the water above. I want you to separate me from all the profane things in my life as you did the land from the water. I want 2025 to come out to be a new person. I want to be able to face Satan pure. I want to be able to go into 2025 looking for your coming, because it's close. We're going to close this Sunday school. Amen. But I want you to be encouraged. God has got a plan for your life. He's got a mission. The Bible said when he arose, he gave gifts. Not just the Holy Spirit, but gifts, plural. Amen. Find your mission in 2025. Find your mission. If you find your mission, you will be the most fulfilled. You will be the most joyful. You will be the most happy. I'll say one more thing. God blessed us to be able to go, and I talked to go to Greece, and we went to the actual prison where Paul was in stocks. And it was worse than I thought it was. I've been to prisons here, and I thought, well, it'd be something like that, you know. But it was much worse. I can't believe. It was more like a hole in the ground. And from what they told me, it was waterlogged back then. It was marsh. And so they would have been in dank, rank water, really in a hole in the ground with rocks all over them. And it was at midnight. They separated themselves from despair and from doubt and from fear. And what did they start doing? Singing worship unto God. Lord, I thank you that we have been counted worthy to suffer for your name. Now that's some separation. And what happened? God sent an earthquake. And not only loosed them, loosed everyone. That's what you being on a mission can do. It won't just affect you in 2025, but you can help all the people around you when you get the vision of having a mission. We're going to be talking more about that next week. We're going to close. Amen. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, you have been so merciful to every single one of us here today. You have taken us through from January 1st of 2024 to this date, Sunday the 29th of December. Lord, with your mercy and grace, Lord, we plan for you to take us into the new year. Lord, help us to find our mission, Lord God. Lord Jesus, to take you seriously, to distinguish between the profane and the holy. Lord, to separate us out, Lord God, just as you did Barnabas and Paul. Lord God, that we will be on a mission for you in 2025. Lord God, that there will be nothing more important than pleasing you in our lives. Lord God, I pray right now you pour down blessing. You pray down, pour down strength. Lord God, you take away fear. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you right now as we close this Sunday school, Lord, that you be in our second service, Lord God, that your Holy